It was good to be with all of you yesterday at the picnic. Amen for you that were there. It was just a good fellowship. It's been a while since we've done something like that. It's been a while since we had the church picnic, and it was good. It was good, and it was good just to be with everyone. And so I'm sure through the words that I've got that we need to do it again. That's what a lot of people came up and told me throughout the rest of the day. Hey, can we do this again next year? And others that had done it in the past said, hey, I'm glad we did it. Let's keep it going. So amen to that. So I want to share with you today. I love graduations, and I love days of baptisms. That's awesome. So, and I know that we have some baptism certificates, but we'll try to get those out next week. So today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to move this right along. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, and so I want to talk to you a little bit about today about end time. We're not going to go through all of end time. It's just a call to be ready. To call to be ready when your time comes. Be called to be ready when you stand before the Lord. We need to be ready. We need to be ready. Today we're going to talk about this. And Jesus is telling us, is all these words, these scriptures here, and the parable of the 10 virgins is a purpose. Why is it the 10 virgins? Because Jesus is doing this parable around a wedding. And so what we see here is most people think that they're going to go to heaven. But if you ask them, most people would say, because I believe in God, because I'm a good person. We're going to share today that it's much more than that. It's much more than that. And I could just share, I'm sharing scripture with you because scripture speaks this truth. And so we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25. And if you are there, and you can turn there, but I want to pray. Father, Lord, we just ask for your presence, continued presence in this service this morning. We ask now that you would open our hearts to receive the spiritual food that we need. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to share with you these verses this morning. In verse 1 of chapter 25, he says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they didn't take oil with them. But the wise ones took oil in their flask with their lamps. And when the groom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. In the middle of the night, there was a shout, here's the groom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise ones, give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. The wise ones answered, no, there won't be enough for us and for you. Go instead to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. And when they had gone to buy some, the groom arrived, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the rest of the virgins came and said, Master, Master, open up for us. And he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. And Jesus finishes it, and he says, therefore, be alert, because you do not know either the day or the hour. What we find here, Jesus is using this piece as a wedding. Back in those days, in a wedding, there were some things in that culture that they would do. These virgins, it was normal to have that many, and each one would carry a lamp, and that was kind of a normal piece. There's 3 parts to this, to a wedding. There's the engagement, the betrothal, and the marriage. And so we see these things are all common for this. But what we see is, what are we really seeing in these scriptures? We see these 10 individuals who all look alike, who seem like they're all alike. They're there for the same wedding, but there was a difference. 5 of them, it says, were wise and 5 were foolish. The key is 5 were wise. Why? Here it is. Because they had that oil for their lamp, and the others did not. And so we see that you can light a lamp, but it won't last long because there's no oil in it. And what we see is the scriptures use that the oil is spirit. And what we find out here is that there are people in a church that really don't know Christ. They don't know God. They don't know God. They know about him, but they don't know him. They don't have him. So we're going to share a few things with that. So I want to remind you straight out the front that there are people in the church that do not know and have the Holy Spirit. So here I want to share with you out of John 10, verse 11 and 13. This is talking about pastors in the church. This is pastors in the church. I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't know own the sheep, and he leaves them and runs away when he sees the wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and does not care about the sheep. Any pastor that has the Holy Spirit knows that he should care about the sheep. He lays his life down. This is an individual, when he sees the wolf coming, he runs because he is a hired hand. I want to tell you, there are pastors and there are preachers that are hired hand, that are hired men. They know about God, but they don't have that Holy Spirit. We also see it's not just pastors in churches that don't know God truthfully, that there are some that are teachers and leaders. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes this, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine. People follow people we're supposed to follow. And who teaches doctrine? There's teachers who teach teach doctrine. So he says, for a time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear and what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to miss. And so we know that there are even false teachers in the church today. And so we have to be careful. You need to be careful who you let speak into your life. You need to be careful who you are listening to when you're listening to preaching online or on TV. And I want to tell you, when you skim across those guys that are preaching on TV, I'm telling you, if all they do is talk about prosperity, you need to switch the channel. Because there's a lot more to being a believer than talking about give to receive, give to receive, give to receive. No, really, it's more about how to love your neighbor as yourself. And that is a lifelong learning piece. But it's also about serving the Lord with what you have. And even if you don't think you have enough, God can still use that. It's about becoming a disciple of Christ and sharing the gospel to the dark places of the world, which is even in your own neighborhood. So we find, I just want to say that there are people that are in the church, not just in the congregation, but there are people who are teachers and leaders and preachers that truthfully do not have a relationship and do not have what we would call salvation. A friend of mine, actually, we did a revival when we first started New Life Fellowship down on the corner, and one of his testimonies was this: I preached for 7 years and came to Jesus after 7 years. He said, at my own revival, when I had a guest preacher, it finally hit me that I did not have a relationship with Jesus. And he said, I was a preacher for 7 years. I knew all about it, but I did not have him right here. I had him here, and I had him in my heart. I had him in my emotions. I had him in my education and my knowledge, but I never had that spirit. I never really truly called upon him. I never really did what I needed to do for salvation. I thought I did, but it took a preacher, a friend of mine, to come and preach in the place that I was pastor in my own revival to come to Jesus. Now, I will tell you, if you know a pastor that would be able to say that, you know, so we have to look in the mirror today and we have to say, do I have Christ in my life? Do I really have Christ in my life? Because we saw 10 virgins in this story. They all were going. They all knew about this second. They all knew about the things of God. They all knew this, but there was something that was missing. It was missing. Was missing was the Spirit, was the Holy Spirit. So we see a lot of people claim to be believers, but they are not true believers. And some attend church, and even in church, and they struggle because they don't really have it. They don't have it, which is the Holy Spirit. They are not filled with the Spirit. Now, when I say filled with the Spirit, that don't mean being all excited and those kind of things. There's an excitement, but I'm just saying it's not about being Spirit-filled or non-Spirit-filled. It's about having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There are times when you can be spiritually dry. I'm not talking about that. There are times when you can be spiritually thirsty and you're in a valley. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who don't have the Holy Spirit in their life. I want to share a couple of Bible truths for you. No one can be a true Christian without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a believer. You cannot be a believer without the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Lord gives you when you become a believer. Romans 8 says this: you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That's why I wanted to bring up these extra scriptures today, because you need to hear from the Word, not just from me. So Romans 8, 9 says, listen, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. That we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Because some of you might be thinking, I don't feel anything. I don't feel a bubbling inside. Let me tell you this. Those of you that have the Holy Spirit, those of you that have a relationship, you have salvation. That means you have salvation, you have the Holy Spirit. Okay? You that have salvation, you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of you may be struggling with it. So what makes a believer? We'll come back to that. What makes a believer? What makes a person have the Holy Spirit? First of all, you have to call upon the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We call upon the name of the Lord because we begin to understand and know what is true salvation. It is when we call upon the name of the Lord. We call upon Him as God. We call Him upon us to Him as we are a creation of God. We may not understand all of that, but we know that we may even be confused with it, but we know this, there is a drawing. When it comes to salvation, sometimes people say, I'm going to come to God when I want to. I'll come to Christ when I want to. I'm going to do it after I have my years of fun. I'm going to have it after, I'll just do it on my deathbed. I'll do it when I want. But the scripture tells us you can't do it when you want. This tells you how much God is in charge of this. What does it say? Scripture says this. No one in John verse 6, 44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to Christ unless God is drawing them to himself, to his Son. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Let's take a step to the side for a minute. When you're sharing the gospel with someone, here's what you're probably thinking. I don't know what to say. I don't know really what to say. This is where you know. But you know you have the Spirit inside. You know you're not. So what you do is you begin to have a conversation, not in your mind. You're actually praying. You're kind of doing the Nehemiah standing before a king. You're having this conversation that's pretty delicate, but you're also praying at the same time. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me words. Give me understanding on which way to direct. What do I say here? Because they're throwing some pretty big curveballs. But I want to remind you, when they're asking you questions, okay, assume this, the Lord is drawing them. Now, the other day, somebody was out there preaching the gospel in on this dude using the bullhorn. Okay, if that's what you do, that's what you do. You just share the gospel. And people run up to this individual, and they start dancing provocatively. They start getting all up into him and rubbing their body up on him, and he's backing up. So that is not the Holy Spirit working, right? That's not the Holy Spirit working in them. That's another spirit working, trying to shut it down. But when you know you have that moment and you're sharing the gospel and they're asking you questions, and when you share it, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit pulling them toward you, giving you the words. And in the flesh, we're thinking, I'm going to mess it up. I know I'm going to mess it up. I don't know what to say. I'm going to mess it up. Listen, the Holy Spirit is putting words inside of you. And somehow it comes out right. And if they walk away, here it is, the Holy Spirit did its part, was pulling toward them, toward you. You are the vessel. You're the one sharing the gospel. God is using you. He'll use his own. And you did what you could do. Here's what we do. We turn around and walk away and go, man, I blew it. They didn't come to Christ. I blew it. No, you don't walk away like that. You walk away, and this is a growing moment for you. You walk away and go, Lord, that really hurt today. Give me another opportunity. And you pray for them and ask, Lord, put somebody else in their life that they may share the gospel. Let that seed blossom. Okay, don't beat yourself up. I've shared the gospel with a lot of people that didn't accept it. Did God make a mistake? No. God drew them. And they chose to say not today. Does that mean they'll get another tomorrow? I don't know. That was their drawing. Sometimes it takes longer. This is why when you walk away, your work is not done. You keep praying. You keep praying for them. You keep praying for them. So you can't pick and choose when you want to come to Christ. The Lord is drawing them to the gospel, to Jesus, right? Right? Revelation 3:20 says, see, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and eat with him and he with me. And this is what we're talking about, this whole banquet. He will come in, I will come in, and we're going to eat together. That's that big banquet in heaven, right? The door opens for those who have the hope, Jesus, and because if you have Jesus, then you have the Holy Spirit. And you walk in, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have to go get baptized to get the Holy Spirit. Okay? But when that person receives Christ, they have the Holy Spirit, and they're, that door is open for them. Because they're part of they've been engrafted. They have been adopted. We've been adopted. We have that salvation. We are sealed to the day of redemption. All those great verses. We come through and we're going to be able to dine in the banquet with Jesus. That great meal. But there'll be some that says, wait a minute, I did these things too. I served in the church. I sang in the song, the praise team. I did this. I did that. I did this. Listen. It doesn't matter. They weren't ready. They weren't ready. They struggled with it. And they thought they had it. And I'm afraid sometimes that people think they have it and they don't. And they go through whole life thinking that they have Christ, but they don't. They don't. When does the Holy Spirit enter someone? John chapter 3 verse 7 says, it's really when you've been born again. It says, Jesus answered, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying you must be born again. You cannot go back into your mother's womb. We read this with Nicodemus. You can't be born again in that sense. It's a spiritual renew. It's a spiritual rebirth. But it says you must be born of water, which is mean reborn. We have to be human. You're born in the water. You come out in water, right? So it's not a baptism. It's there, and you have to be born of water, and born of spirit. So there's a flesh side and a spiritual side. So the Holy Spirit comes in at salvation. But after death, what is it? That's what this whole parable is about. It's a readiness to be ready. To be ready, no matter, you don't know what's going to be around the corner today, or what's going to be around the corner tomorrow, or what diagnosis you're going to get next month, and you don't even have a clue that you're going to be in the hospital for anything. But I want to tell you that God loves you. He loves you. He loves me. He loves lost people. How do we know that? Because His Word tells us. John 3:16 is very well known, but I want to read this because I want to add 17 to it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But then He says this, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, right? But to save the world through Him. Jesus came to save the world. Oh, He's gonna conquer. He's going to be an iron scepter here down the road. But He came here, in that moment, to save the world because we were lost, to redeem that which was lost. And God allows Him to draw it back to God, to allow Jesus to draw it back. 1 Timothy says this, this is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved. What? Jesus also wants everyone to be saved. So when you're having that conversation with that person, listen, no one wants them saved more than the Lord, right? Even though that person has questions, the Lord wants them saved more than anybody, okay? Even more than you do. And you're sharing the gospel. Listen, your biggest fan in this world is Jesus Christ. He is your biggest fan. You know what? He's your biggest fan, not only on your great days, but He is your biggest fan even on your bad days. Because he's gonna work to pull you out of that hole. He's gonna do what he needs to do to get you where you need to be. So let's just say this. God is rooting for you. In 2 Peter, Peter writes, "The Lord does not delay in his promise, as some understand delay." But this is what he says. "But he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance." So today we cannot say whether people want to rebel against God, they don't want to receive God, because even over in this conversation area where you're sharing the gospel, some people just say, "I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it, I don't want nothing to do with it." Aren't we thankful that God doesn't give up on us? Because some of you said the same thing. "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I want none of it." And God says, "We'll just see about that." And he puts somebody else in your life. And he puts somebody else in your life. Because here's the thing. Out of these five that were wise, five that was foolish, I think the Lord wanted all 10 to come through. If there were 25, he wants all 25 to come through. There are over 17,000 people in the city of Huntington. He's not going for 16,000. He's going for every one of them. All the way to the last individual. He wants to be a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, that they might be redeemed from their lost world, to come into his heart and to be engrafted and to be part of the family of God. He wants all the people. Not just 50%, not just 80%, but all 100%. Why is that? Because the scripture says he loves everyone. Because Jesus came and died for everyone. And he will draw people to himself. He will draw them to himself. But I would also put caution. If you've been refusing God, you've been refusing the gift of salvation, and you keep pushing off, don't be alarmed when one day the draw isn't there anymore. Because you don't pick it, you can't turn it on, and you can't turn it off. Imagine the door being shut. And God saying, "I don't know you." You see, today, if you have salvation, the Lord knows you. God knows you. If you have salvation through Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, your name, the scripture says, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is a great book to be written into. And you are part of the family. And when the door is open, you will be greeted, and then you will be able to walk in. And the Bible says you will be known as you're known. And they will know you. As a matter of fact, many, I believe, will say, "We've been waiting on you. We've been preparing for you to come." As much as nobody, I say it before, when people are on their deathbed, nobody says, "You know, when I'm 80, just let me go. Don't pray that I'm going to get..." No, let me go. They're waiting on me. When I get there, let me go. Let me go. Let me go. I want to see the one who died for me. I want to see the one that loved me so much. The one that forgave me of my sins. I want to see the one that opened doors, those doors that I could never open. I want to see those. I want to see those who preceded me in death that I know of my family. I want to see those who I've read in the scripture. I want to see Daniel. I want to see Moses. I want to see Noah. I want to see all these guys. I want to see Sarah. I want to see Rahab. I want to see all of them. And I promise you this: Rahab is not known as a prostitute in heaven. She is not known as a prostitute in heaven. David is not known as an adulteress. Moses is not known as a murderer. The five virgins that were able to walk in the door, when they walked through the threshold, everything behind them in their life fell away. Can't bring that in the house of God. You can't bring that junk in the house of God. What you were known for there is gone. But those who wanted to come in and keep getting, knocking on the door, keep banging on it, and they're turned away, and everything that they are goes with them. They stay. Could you imagine who you are here? You will be for the rest of eternity. all your junk, all your bad stuff. And once you go through the threshold, you are new, you are fresh, you are new again with none of that stuff. And the Lord says He will wipe away every tear from your face. Every tear He will wipe away. If we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. But if we don't have Jesus, we don't have the Holy Spirit, that which makes us spiritually empty. If you are spiritually empty, when I mean spiritually empty, I'm not talking about your spiritual growth. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about spiritually empty. Anything, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit inside of you will fill you. It is there. Even on your darkest days, it is still there. He is still there. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that means you don't have Jesus Christ, which means you don't have salvation, which means you're like the five virgins that could not get in to the kingdom of God. What is it that we have to do? What is it that we have to do to get right with God? I believe that what we have to do to get right with God is first we have to acknowledge who God is. We have to acknowledge who we are. We have to have that salvation experience when we call upon the name of the Lord and believe and have faith and believe that He is the Son of God. And when we don't do that, when we haven't done that, but we know about the Scriptures and we can pick things that we think that we know, but we don't know. That is the first step, is salvation. And at salvation, the Lord will save. He saves. He forgives. He redeems. He puts inside of you the Holy Spirit to begin to help you lead your life, because you can't do it without Him. He gives you the Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, who begins to work with your thinking and your choices. And you begin to feel that and know that, why am I thinking different? Why am I processing things different? Why am I making different choices? Why am I praying about this all of a sudden? All my prayers are not about me. It's about other things and other people. I'm going to tell you, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not quiet and doesn't work. The Holy Spirit is always active. It's always active. When He's not active in your life, it's because you suppressed His work in your life. You suppressed Him. But the Bible says, well, we won't go down that road, but once you have Him, you have Him. You are sealed to the day of redemption. You are sealed to the day. So I want to remind you today, we either are like the first five that were wise, and we have that Spirit, and we can light that lamp, and we can go right in because we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we can go right in there, and we can take our seat at the great banquet with the Lord and all those others. Praise the God for that. There will be people that we're waiting for to see, and they're anticipating our entry. Or we're going to be like the other five that thought we knew, that we had a membership in a church, that we even took on positions. We did all these things. We volunteered for everything. But we made all those things in the front, and we never had a relationship. We never had that salvation piece. And without that salvation piece with Jesus Christ, that means you don't have salvation. You don't have the Holy Spirit. So you're not allowed into. You're either one side or the other today. It's the same parable as the sheep and the goats, just a little bit further. We're just using 10 versions today. But I want to tell you, you need to be ready, because your day is coming when it will be your last day. You don't know when that day is going to happen. You don't know when that time is going to happen. We've had people in this church that have passed away. But they've not, have you noticed that those of you who have been here, they've not been all because of, just because of being old? Well, we've had some that have left because of diseases at early age. We've had some that have been left because they chose to leave. We've had some that have left the church because of car accidents. We've had some because they've had a disease they didn't even know they had, lasted a month. We've had others that stillborn babies. You don't know when. You don't know when your time is coming. You do not know when your time is coming. This is a message to be prepared so that you might get your house in order, that you might get your house. This is your spirit, your body, your spirit, to get your house in order. Because if your house isn't in order, it's out of order. and it's spiritually bankrupt. What gets you into heaven is not who you are, it's who's inside of you. And that is the Holy Spirit. And you don't get the Holy Spirit unless you have a relationship and have salvation with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And I pray that you all have that today. But if you don't, we're going to have a moment here. But also, no, I do believe that you can be spiritually dry. We can have those moments where the Bible says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. We have those moments of where some of us, we have the Holy Spirit, but we are spiritually dry. Doesn't mean we don't have, we're just spiritually dry. We're not spiritually empty, but we're spiritually dry. And we need to work on that. Because let me remind you of this, Jesus is always doing his part. So who does that leave? God is always doing his part. Who does that leave? And the Holy Spirit is always doing his part because he doesn't do anything that God doesn't want to do. He's God's Spirit, always doing his part. So who is that? Who is it that needs to make those adjustments when we're spiritually dry? It is us. So maybe today you might need to, maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you, yeah, that's you, buddy. That's why you're in a funk. That's why you're spiritually dry. Because you're leaving me out on the curve, whatever it may be. Father, Lord, we love you so much. But Lord, we can't love you as much as you love us here. But Lord, thank you for loving us so much, giving us this gift of salvation, giving us the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, that great counselor, Lord, which is God's Spirit. Thank you so much. I pray, Father, today, right now, as we begin to open up this altar, this time of reflection and response, that your Spirit will have its will, its way, with each and every one of us, not just 90% of us, but all 100% of us today, that your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.